Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
He was there for minicamp, and then he got hurt the first day the pads went on in practice. To their naked eye, what they see from Roman Wilson in practices, where he's out on the scout team, I would suppose, he's pretending to be somebody in the Raiders offense. He's Jacoby Myers at practice this week or something like that. And they're seeing him move at a rate of speed that makes them think he's not ready to play on Sundays yet. If he had said more the mental thing, which he sneaked in there, if he had tried to concoct some kind of argument for, we just don't think he's ready to handle the speed of the NFL game because he's going to be thinking too much, and we like the guys we have here now, where we're not going to take that chance or take that risk, I wouldn't agree with it, but that would make more sense than he's not in game shape. You've never seen what he looks like in game shape.
It's just the whole answer is very cryptic. It's not just the game shape part of it. As you said, you wouldn't know what it looked like if you know, because you haven't seen it. It's how is somebody going to be back in sooner rather than later, but also be a long way off 5 seconds before that in your answer?
How do you get, if they don't think he's in game shape, how do you get in game shape without playing in games? It's not like baseball.
Seems
where
like a bit of a catch-22.
It's not like baseball where you can send a guy down on a rehab assignment and he can get a few innings in or a few at bats in and get his sea legs under him.
Presumably,
so to speak.
What he has to go. They don't really go hard in practice anymore in season at all. It's specifically designed to keep guys from being too banged up.
Dude, they gotta throw him out there and just see how it goes. And I'm telling you,
do you think Arthur Smith's the one holding him back, or that Mike Tomlin doesn't want to put him on the doesn't want to make sure he has a helmet? Obviously, these decisions are made in a collaborative way. Who do you think is the person who most doesn't trust him yet as an active player on game day?
You know what? I'm actually going to say Smith here, because I think Smith has more say over the personnel, and Tomlin has more say over to, like, the
usage.
Not just the usage, but, like, the goal of the offense, the strategy of the offense.
The overarching philosophy.
Yes,
he
exactly.
Sets the philosophy, okay, fine, these are the guys we need active on game day. Man, they are dying alive. In terms of receivers, you got Brandon Johnson out there. Most of our listeners probably, unless they listened very carefully yesterday, don't even know who Brandon Johnson played for last year.
Let's get to what Arthur Smith had to say about George Pickens and his snap count being way down. Was he benched? What was the deal with George Pickens playing so little compared to other wide receivers and that loss to the Cowboys?
You go week to week with game plans, and obviously last week we were limited possession, you know, the way the game flowed. Some of it was our own doing, obviously not being as efficient. We had been on third down. We had two shots in the high red zone in the second half. We didn't convert for different reasons. But you're going any game plan, certain players, and you know how we package things. You're trying to maximize snaps. Different lifetime, but certainly done it with other premium players, you know, done it with Derrick Henry. You know, he wanted to be out there to play, and he wasn't out there on all the third downs, and He got plenty of touches. Did it with A.J. Brown early. Certain things and trying to mix and match and maximize things or set things up. And that was a little bit of the early. Still played the majority of snaps. He's still, I believe, you know, depending on what metric you're using, seventh in targets and passing downs or passing opportunities in the league. So there's, and I get it. You know, you lose a game and something may look off or whatever, but that's not. And then we communicate to any player, whether it's Scotty or Van or Connor Hayward. You guys know the roles. You got to know the backups and how you package things. You know, those are week-to-week things. That's the best way I can answer it.
So the game plan was for Van Jefferson to play more than George Pickens. It's a week-to-week thing.
And on a week when Trayvon Diggs didn't play for the Cowboys, when not only did they not have the teeth of their pass rush, they didn't have maybe their best corner.
I'm
how does that equate to we play our best wide receiver fewer snaps?
How do you even bring up Derrick Henry as a relevant comparison to make here?
You don't, because you know that because if you're Arthur Smith, you're well aware that he was punished and that's why the snap count was lower, but you can't say that. Is there any sort of dispute about what actually is happening?
These guys are contorting themselves into positions that are in the what's the book about sex?
The Kama Sutra.
Yes. In order to explain away something that's very obvious to all fans, that there's a disciplinary element to what happened here.
Correct.
With George.
It's
one of the things that Didi said about Arthur Smith and having gotten to know him through her travels in the NFL was that he was going to be more of a no-nonsense guy than Tomlin, and that bringing in someone that was going to demand more accountability was going to be good for guys like George Pickens. Obviously, he's not able to do that publicly because he's taking marching orders from his boss. But I just wish somebody would have the nerve to say, look, we didn't like what we saw from the guy, and that's why we did what we did. That's it.
Unless Mike says it, nobody will do it. And Mike ain't going to say it.
Because, honestly, you're an even bigger idiot if you went into a game against Dallas with all their injuries, pass rushing-wise, and in their secondary and said, the way to beat this team is to play Van Jefferson more than George Pickens.
That's why I said what I said.
Give me Arthur Smith on Justin Fields, and let's see, Donnie, from this answer, if it makes us think Fields or Wilson will play Sunday against the Raiders.
Like a lot of our guys, I mean, there's been some really good football played, and there's things that we've got to keep working on. But, you know, he is unique in terms of in the modern era of a guy that's kind of old school, just tries to work on things. There's no drama with him. I don't think he has doesn't try to live through his avatar, create a perception. That's probably why he was so endearing to his teammates in Chicago. That's what I really enjoy about working with him. Extremely coachable, extremely bright. And it's the same thing as a play caller. You know, you get in this business and people start making excuses or rationalizing and blaming others or whatever it is, or, you know, put whatever they want on social media or make sure certain narratives get leaked out. And he's old school. Guy just wants to work, and that's what you appreciate about him. So like all of us, you know, there's things you got to work on, and different things pop up week to week. And so that's why we practice. That's why we meet. I'm very pleased with him overall.
I mean, it's not really a glowing review because it's not really much about the way he's played, and it's more about just the being around him thing. I would not like to hear that. If that was my boss giving me a review, you know, just hearing
how's Chris on the air? He's a really nice guy.
You know, he's just a good guy to be around. He's easy to work with. He doesn't have an ego. He's not a drama queen. Okay, like, thank you, but okay, how about the actual production that I'm giving you guys? Say,
I did think it was
that.
Weird. He doesn't live through his avatar. That felt like a weird Wilson adjacent comment.
Or maybe it's adjacent to Pickens on that a little bit. He's not creating Michael Badgerly accounts.
Brewerly. Badgerly. Badgerly was a kicker from Miami, I believe.
Oh, by the way, someone who, let's say he played in the NFL.
Well, that narrows it down.
Heard the Detective Mulsey and you figuring out that you think that this burner account is George Pickens.
Is GP.
And he heard you break down some of these tweets and said, it's definitely him, and George gave it away. He made a comment to one of my posts, let's compare bank accounts.
Yeah.
Who the hell's Michael Brewerly? What is he doing for a living? why would Michael Brewerly, a guy who is a nameless gray face on Twitter, why would he be in such a rush to compare
his bank account?
It's the guy that's the NFL player who's making millions of dollars who would want to do that. Hence, with that answer, he gave it away. That is George Pickens. And I said, Eureka, I can't believe I must have been distracted by something. How did I not make that point on the air yesterday?
Let me make sure.
That's giving away the game right there.
Let me make sure. I want to see. Let's compare bands then and not say you two should compare bands.
I think that was a heck of an observation by this athlete who will remain unnamed.
Here we go.
The professional athlete.
No, it says go band for band with him then.
Oh, okay.
So he did keep it in the character of Mr. Brewerly. That's why I wanted to check.
Gotcha. Okay, that's a good job by Brewerly then, a.k.a. George Pickens.
I just like that he picked the name Michael Brewerly.
What if somebody said Mr. Brewerly today at the Q&A with Pickens, a reporter? If Cabali goes, Mr. Brewerly, I've got one for you here.
Do you think there's like an equivalent chance if somebody said, hey, Mr. Brewerly, there's an equivalent chance the reporter would get punched and it would be like a major incident, or you'd actually get Pickens to crack in that setting?
It's easier. This is why in that answer by Smith, it's easier to give that person bad news. So it's easier, I think, to bench a guy who you know is going to probably take it better than somebody like George Pickens, who's this highly emotional person that is going to lash out or might do the opposite and just completely unplug and turn himself off. And, you know, you're dealing with, basically a corpse at practice and around the meeting rooms. You know, if Fields is really like that good of a teammate and that good of a guy and is going to respond well to adversity, telling him, hey, we're going back to Russell Wilson, he's not going to check out or demand a trade when you do that based on how Arthur Smith
talks.
And that way, I think that
it would make it easier for them to do it.
Yes, it was clearly meant as a compliment, but I think in a way it can easily work against Fields in this situation.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service. It's our weekly chat with Steve Palazzolo. Used to work for PFF. Now he's with the 33rd team. His podcast, Check the Mic, doing huge numbers with Sam Monson. And Steve, let's start with... I think nationally everybody thinks the big story here is the quarterback, so let's do that. If you were Arthur Smith and Mike Tomlin, would you go with Russell Wilson or Justin Fields against the Raiders?
I think I'd roll with Justin Fields, at least for one more week, give him one more chance. I thought that was his worst game on Sunday night against Dallas, but he'd been playing pretty well. It's not like it's an explosive offense right now, but man, I mean, the way George Pickens was running routes and, you know, not having him on the field as often as they did, it's not like Fields is in this great situation, or either quarterback really, in this great situation to produce. I think I'd roll with Fields at least for one more week, see if he could bounce back from last week.
If he doesn't play well against the Raiders and they lose, which always still feels like a possibility when the Raiders are on the schedule for the Steelers, how much of an upgrade could Russell Wilson actually give them? Like, what is in there that Russell Wilson does well that would be something Steelers fans could be at that point optimistic about?
Yeah, I mean, the could factor with Russ is just higher, because that's how you ask it. He could provide, you know, more consistent deep ball. I know Fields has made a few nice plays down the field, but Russ could flip the field with that deep ball. He could, you know, probably take care of the ball a little bit better, certainly better than Fields did the other night. I just don't know what you're getting from Russ at this point in his career. I think we're 4 years removed from high-end football from Russell Wilson, even though he was pretty good statistically with Denver. And then last year, I mean, there were some plays last year outside of structure where he showed some of that magic, you know, scrambling away and getting the ball to Cortland Sutton in the end zone against Buffalo. Like, there was a few of those special outside of structure plays. I think that might be the one other piece where if Russ could tap into that once or twice a game, that maybe you're getting a little bit more than what Fields has done to this point.
Steve, do you think that the offensive production, the 18 points, is a byproduct of Justin Fields being limited as a player, or do you think it's more about like a self-imposed by the coaching staff conservative approach to the way they're trying to play?
Yeah, I think some of it's self-imposed, just the game flow of those first few games that they're saying, hey, we're playing a defensive-minded game. I think Fields has done a better job of just, you know, hitting his first read, getting the ball out, but a lot of it's short underneath stuff. They've taken a few, you know, few shot plays here and there, but again, it's not like, other than George Pickens, it's, you know, tough to get anybody open down the field to create those big plays. So I think it's a little bit of personnel and a little bit of most of the games have been defensive-minded, and I think that's where, you know, the Steelers have been most comfortable playing, is just a little bit more conservative approach.
Steve, what the heck would you do with George Pickens if you were the Steelers?
I don't know. How do you guys do this? How do you do this all the time? You get excited about a player, he's awesome, and then it's like, oh, he doesn't want to play anymore. I'm going to ask you guys the question. Does Tomlin find the guys that he can, like, they were always a little crazy, but he got them good for 2 or 3 years, and then it just catches up to him? Or do they go crazy when they're in Pittsburgh? Like, what's the deal here?
I think he is the classic woman in a relationship who dates guys who she thinks she can fix. I think that's what he does.
And it worked for a while. This is why I don't want to be a GM, guys, because I would make this great pick like George Pickens, great football player, but, you know, at some point he would just quit on me and I'd be upset. But, I mean, they know how to push the buttons, and like, pushes buttons so that he wants to play and be awesome, because when he plays, he is awesome. Find a way to do that. How's that?
I just feels like an easier said than done thing. It just, I'm at my wit's end already with Pickens, so I'll move on to something else.
Actually, I have one more on him, Steve.
Please.
As a wide receiver, you say he's awesome, but is he actually awesome? Like, when you turn on tape of George Pickens, do you see him, like, doing the complete route tree of things that set him apart and can potentially make him one of the great wide receivers in the NFL?
I think he's shown flashes of it. I mean, I was just watching, like, the lack of effort thing is just a whole different story, but the first pass that Fields threw that probably should have been picked, I feel like Pickens, you know, slowly running into his route, kind of threw off his timing. Like, he had to come off that read quicker, and he just kind of chucked it. It throws everything off. But when Pickens had those few plays last year where the catch and runs for 70-plus yards, that was the part of his game I felt like, okay, he can do that now. And he does the contested catch thing. Yeah, he's not the best route runner at getting open all the time, but I think he could be an intermediate threat, a deep threat, and I think he's shown enough of the after-the-catch ability that, yeah, I think he could be a pretty good all-around receiver, even if he's not, say, A.J. Brown or Justin Jefferson.
Steve, here's a couple of names of Raiders quarterbacks in the past who have beaten the Steelers. Bruce Gradkowski, Terrell Pryor.
No, that's Bruce. Yeah.
No, our guy, Bruce is our guy, but I think even Bruce would say, like, hey, they don't expect to lose to me when I'm playing against them. I think they were like a 13-point underdog, the Raiders were that day. Terrell Pryor, I believe Ryan Clark and the rest of that defense are still chasing the other guy who didn't have the ball while Pryor takes off running. So this has been a horrifying run for them when they go out to, you know, usually it was Oakland and play the Raiders. Do we have anything to fear from Aiden O'Connell? As Steelers fans, is this the kind of player whose profile, the way he plays the position, could actually make him dangerous on Sunday?
Yes, Aiden O'Connell can be dangerous any given week. That was kind of the story of him at Purdue. That was the story of him last year as a rookie. Now, it was like every other week for him. He had a game Christmas Day against the Chiefs. He didn't complete a pass in the first half, and they were winning because of defense. The other game against the Chiefs, he was cooking. Like, they were putting up points. He was making big-time throws. He's got some special plays in him. He can make some pretty nice throws down the field. He's a little volatile. So, like, yeah, you could get – if you get good Aiden O'Connell – then, yeah, you might be able to add him to the list of Bruce and Pryor and everybody else.
Steve, I was talking to somebody who played in the NFL recently. You know who he compared him to? He said he's a very poor man's Kirk Cousins. That's what he said to me. That's what the person said on Aiden O'Connell. You see that?
I don't see that.
I'm going to text that person back and say your opinion's horse crap.
I would say he's more on, like, the Ryan Fitzpatrick spectrum of
Okay.
Yeah. It's more like that continuum of, like, a little bit of crazy and a little bit of, hey, when it all works, you know, watch out. You're putting points on the board. That's what I see. Yeah.
Why is this defense, which is the highest paid in the NFL, why has it looked so average the last 2 weeks, Steve?
The Steelers?
Yes.
Nick Herbig got hurt. They didn't give up a touchdown until he got hurt. Just saying. That dude's he's an impact player. He's a difference maker.
Was $13 million on Patrick Queen a mistake?
Probably. I know. I mean, aren't they happy with how he's playing? Isn't that how
they are? They are, but they're the only ones. I think pretty much every fan is tired.
Okay.
Tired already of not seeing much happen there.
Yeah, I'm no longer with PFF, but a PFF user, right? Grade user. And when you look at Queen's grades, it is fascinating because he had, like, two bad years, two good years, which coincided with Mike McDonald being there, and then the grades back down again. He is a very interesting use case where the only time he produced using that metric was with Mike McDonald, who does a really nice job of maximizing linebackers, setting them free, and letting them make plays. So, yeah, something to keep an eye on. I think that was part of the risk, I thought, with Queen, is that He was kind of bad for 2 years until McDonald got there, and if he's not in that system, is that an issue?
Steve, I'll give you one more, which is kind of like back in your old wheelhouse. The big play stats, the interceptions, the fumble recoveries, the forced fumbles, the getting down near the line of scrimmage, tackles for loss, breaking up passes. We're not seeing Minka Fitzpatrick do any of that. Does that mean he's playing poorly, not up to a standard? What do you think?
No, I mean, those are nice as a safety, but I don't think that's the determining factor. I think he's, you know, a lot of that's luck, right? The ball finds him, and, you know, I think those tend to fluctuate year to year. So some guys feel like, they're a ball magnet, and they'll always make those plays. But Minka, a lot of it's usage pattern. You have to be playing in and around the line of scrimmage, and, certain things have to break your way. So I don't think that's how I would determine safety play. I think he seems fine so far this year.
All right, Steve Palazzolo, 33rd team. We'll talk again next week. Thank you, Steve.
Yep, thank you, guys.
Oh, yeah, it's time for the Donnie Football Debrief, and it's brought to you by his friends at the Steel Mill Saloon in Mount Washington. Don?
The Debrief, October 10, 2024. The Steelers' next opponent will be another Sunday night football clash at Acrisure Stadium, and it is a team that is falling apart, I think, more quickly than what some may have anticipated, but what some no doubt have been rooting for, the New York Jets. They fired Robert Saleh earlier this week, and now the big news today, Aaron Rodgers' buddy, Nathaniel Buddy Hackett, no longer the play caller for the Jets offense. Todd Downing will be taking over. This team went into disarray a lot more.
You've been loving that word lately. I think you've been, I don't know what it is, but disarray has been on your brain.
Yeah, Buzzy. a new addition, I guess.
There's a couple like rock songs that used to have disarray prominently featured in them, like some Stone Temple Pilots songs.
You think that's what what Donnie's
maybe
listening
Donnie
to?
Maybe. Donnie probably listened to some Stone Temple Pilots in his day.
Did you, Donnie?
Yeah. Yeah, here and there.
Okay. I'm glad that Nathaniel Hackett, who is a completely incompetent boob in over his head.
His head kind of looks like a boob, now that you mention it. He's got a bald, but it's like a fat head.
feel like my head then?
No, your head, like, I feel like if I push down on it, it would, like, the shape of it would stay the same. I feel like he's got a lumpy bald head.
Huh.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, Charlie?
Not really. I mean, it is kind of confusing. You're making it sound like he's got a soft skull.
Yeah. No, I know.
Anyway, he's completely incompetent and should never have gotten any
and
job near a head
too.
Coaching position. Yeah, he probably
that also
shaves
has
his
like
head
the
every
boob
day. Yes.
Look to it.
Got boobs on the brain here? What's
no,
going
I'm
on?
No, you brought up boob, not me.
That's true. I did say it. I hope it goes down in flames. Rodgers looks completely washed. He was crawling around on the field in London like a guy who dropped a contact lens, and then he just sprang right back up after they got the ball right back. I will say this. I joked like everybody else that it had to be Rodgers knifing Robert Saleh in the back. The fact that they did demote Hackett, if it turns out that he really is having authority stripped from him on game day and he can't really, he might be Aaron Rodgers' binky and security blanket because Aaron likes having him around, but that's all he is.
Yeah.
Then this really does give credence to the idea that maybe Woody Johnson is just sick of this bleep. But then again, Woody Johnson is also much of the cause of this.
I got to be honest. I think it's a very short-sighted move. Now, I'm going to say that the Jets are going to come here and lose. All right? I think that they're going to come here and lose in 2 weeks. Now, after this Raiders game, maybe I'll be singing a different tune. And let's just say, for the sake of the conversation, not to be, like, difficult, I think that the Bills will beat them on Monday night.
Okay.
So if that were to happen, that would put the Jets at 2-5, which, given everything that's happening there, you'd think like the vultures would be swirling at that point.
Yep.
They have the opposite of the Steelers, an unbelievably easy second half of the schedule. Like, I look at what they have, they'll have to play the Bills around New Year's. They still haven't played the Jets. They still haven't played the Dolphins yet this year. They have the Jaguars. They have the Colts at home. They have the Patriots still. Like, I think they're still gonna make the playoffs.
I don't know, man. Rodgers might be like actually cooked.
Is he cooked, or did he just play in back-to-back weeks? Denver's defense, which is surprisingly, since it gave up 70 friggin' points last year, one of the best in the NFL, and Brian Flores, Minnesota's defense, which made C.J. Stroud look like whale feces earlier this year. They're stopping everybody. I think that the owner knows that the quarterback and the head coach don't have a warm and fuzzy relationship. He was the ambassador to London for Trump. He was over there, just like
Rooney.
Are
he and Rooney
was
the only ambassadors who also have owned teams? Also, apparently he's referred to on their site as Ambassador Johnson.
Even though he's no longer an ambassador?
Like, he, yeah, apparently.
So,
like,
wait a minute. Was that supposed to continue to call Dan Rooney Ambassador Dan Rooney?
I think it was more that Woody. It's more that Woody Johnson really liked being called Ambassador Johnson.
He's not. They're not the only two, actually. I didn't know if you knew. If you
who
didn't
was
know that.
Who was another one?
Mark Davis.
Ambassador to P.F. Chang's?
Just like.
Trying to
a
think
country
of
he made up, like.
Fredonia? Somebody who has an oil platform in the ocean and considers themselves a sovereign nation, one of those deals?
Like, he was big into Star Wars and said he was the ambassador.
Alderaan.
The
planet that got blown up.
What was the ice planet?
Hoth.
Yeah.
Then you had your Dagobah, which was where Yoda hung out.
The Steelers are running into an incredible run of games here.
Beat O'Connell, you must.
Are running into an incredible run of games where the teams they are playing are dealing with major adversity. The Raiders this week with the quarterback change in Devontae Adams.
Which makes it so frustrating that they insist on playing this conservative style. You should try to kick, you know, deliver the kill shot when the other team's down. And
Christian Wilkins is out for
I know,
too.
I was going to mention that. That came down the pike yesterday. That's their best interior guy. And you know what? I can't help but think this goes back to Tomlin. He doesn't care about all that. He said, oh, next man up, you know, we don't think it's going to be easy. Maybe not. Try to make it easy on yourself. Try to get up 21-0. Try to plant seeds of doubt. Instead, with every passing day, even though Luke Getsy runs the offense out there, I'm starting to talk myself into the idea that here comes Aiden O'Connell, and it's going to be like 10-0 Raiders after one quarter.
The issue with Aaron Rodgers is that with every game he doesn't play well because of his age, the thought is going to be that he's fried, that he's done. I'll just ask you guys this question. Do you think he's worse right now than Ben was his last year here?
Mm. No, because I think Ben
had like...
That team
made the playoffs.
I think Ben had like two last year here's in a row. Like, I think he was really ready to be done. But I'm saying that now because Rodgers has, you know, of the five-game sample, he's got two, I would say one terrific game and one very good game back-to-back, Tennessee and New England.
He's lost to San Fran, Denver's defense, and Minnesota's. I'm not a big fan of the guy, but I am... I'm not ready to write
just
him off yet.
The look of him crawling around on the ground was tough.
I know. You don't think there were some moments where Ben looked like he was a has-been those last couple of years, and he still threw his moxie and everything else and high football IQ savviness was able to get
savviness,
it done?
Savviness. So much savviness. The other problem is his numbers weren't even very good, obviously, against the Vikings, but he threw for 244 yards mainly because they were down 17-0.
Yeah, I don't give him any credit for that game. I thought he looked like crap against them. I think he's looked like crap for two games.
I'm doing here. I'll be honest. I'm saying it because I want him to be done. I'm just so sick of him.
You don't like the McAfee interviews?
He's just...
Does anybody like the McAfee interviews? Wouldn't Pat
I think Pat likes
wouldn't
them.
Be Pat be better off doing another goofy segment there? Like having the one guy put the Lou Holtz mask on and just
They should have Lou Holtz guy debate Mel Kiper guy. That don't they employ the Mel? Is it the same guy?
I think they might be the same.
Well,
guy.
If he's really talented, let him do both voices and have him do a script where we're going to tell you right
Donnie.
Now here, Lou. Let's talk about this guy from Notre Dame, Lou.
Donnie, how is it that Molinaro is in Indy and McAfee's in Indy and they've never collaborated on anything? That makes no sense to me.
Joey used to. He was an intern for Pat when he like first started up his thing.
Maybe Joey just does his own thing now. Jeff in South Park knew what song I was mentioning by Stone Temple Pilots, and he quoted the lyrics, and then he inserts this one, Donnie, which I think is a perfect place to end the debrief. Fun fact, Jeff in South Park once auditioned for Stone Temple Pilots. I did not get the gig, he confirms.
He's told me that before. That's one of his claim to fames.
Did he audition to be the singer?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think he should be the roadie, if that's what you're asking. I think he wanted to be in the actual band.
Does Jeff play instruments?
He's in a band now.
I don't know what instruments he actually plays.
I think he's a vocalist.
Okay, then he could be a vocalist without playing an instrument.
True.
Huh. I'm just imagining him singing, "These are the eyes of disarray."
I like picturing Jeff in like more of a poppy sounding band.
Like Weezer? Jeff doing wee-oo, I look just like Buddy Holly.
He kind of does, actually.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.